Well, good morning, Trinity Covenant Church. My name is Austin. I'm one of the pastors here, and I get the privilege this morning to bring God's word to you. And I also want to welcome to anybody. I know that there's a lot of people traveling, so if you're joining us via live stream, calling out the Shears because they just went on a surprise little trip yesterday. Told you I'd call you out. I hope you're logging in and watching us right now. So, but it's good to see you this morning. I was perusing the World Wide Web, and if you've ever done that, you've often seen crazy things. But I came across one of the craziest PSAs, and for you that don't know what that means, it's a public service announcement. Fairfield, California put out this PSA, and it was a multiple choice kind of answer to kind of talk to your kids, maybe talk to yourself if you don't know what to do when a stranger knocks at your door. Three, A, B, and C, all right, you ready? A, play possum. Two, B, open the door and invite for them to dinner. Ask them to bring dessert, though. C, talk through the door and politely ask them to leave. All right, who's got A? Who's going to play possum? Okay, we can talk afterwards, and I'll have a heart-to-heart with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Who's going to open the door and invite them to dinner? Who's going to be like me? Who's going to open the door and invite them to dinner? All right, a few. And then the rest of you are going to be C. There's no D. You must all raise your hand for C. Who's going to be C? Everybody raise your hands. This is interactive. Come on. It's crazy to think that you would need a public service announcement on what it looks like for somebody knocking your door. But also another thing that was crazy reading is if any of you have bought a house recently or maybe looking to buy a house, you know what the realtors are saying the best thing for you to do after you look at that house and you love it and has... In Connecticut, it has more than one bathroom, right? It has three bedrooms at least, right? Oh my gosh, it has everything you want, but you're not so sure about the neighborhood. The number one thing they tell you to do is go knock on the neighbor's doors. Who's doing that? Right? Or who's the one you're on the other side and some potential neighbor like knocks on your door? What are you saying when they knock the door? Are you playing possum? Are you going to answer and be like, what do you want? And they're like, thank you, I'm not going to buy that house, right? Like, maybe you have some houses in your neighborhood that's not selling, and maybe it's you. I'm just, yikes, ouch, too soon. but the truth is, like, these are the moments where, like, the barrier has to be broken, that social constructs or our culture has created rules and barriers that say you can't do that. Or you shouldn't do that. Like, you should abide by space and place and just give people, like, what they need, but not be intrusive. Don't be offensive. And the reality is, when we get to this text, God sets up a whole different way of what it looks like to be followers of God, that we talk about this idea that love, that the ushering of Jesus Christ into the world breaks down the rules and the barriers that we put up in the way of loving others. In simple terms, love that God is doing here breaks barriers. And before we even get to the text, he's not only breaking barriers just with the shepherds, but he's breaking barriers literally in time and space. Can we talk a little bit about, first of all, love breaking the barrier of the family of Jesus? Could you imagine Joseph being like, wait, you're pregnant? What? We're not even married yet. But yet he stayed. Like, he said, what would the rules say quietly, and just divorce her, move along from her. You have the right to do that, but he stayed. The rules, the barriers that apply to love, Joseph and God said, move him out of the way, stay. But not only that, like later you get into the point where Jesus is born and they don't, this is the King of Kings. This is the Messiah, the one that they have been waiting for, who deserves all the glory, all the privilege, and he's in an animal's feeding trough. That doesn't smell good. And he changes the experience and the expectation and the humility of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, that the kingdom is not going to be one of honor, only glory and praise of what our culture says it is, but Jesus is going to redefine what glory and honor, what humility and expectation of Jesus is. And then lastly, not only breaking the barrier of the expectations of what it looks like to stay when you want to go in relationships, but he breaks the biggest one ever, the barriers to say that the division between who God is and humanity as the created, that God himself, the word would be made flesh and break the barriers and the rules that says God cannot inhabitate a human body. And he did it. He did it. And if those are not the most scandalous things ever, then he goes to the shepherds. We get to this text, and I think the shepherds are the most scandalous thing of this entire story. I know we think of the nativity as like, the shepherds were there, and they had their nice, like, sheep, and they were really quiet sheep. They didn't disturb the baby, right? Like, but here is the craziest thing, is shepherds. Oh, Lord, the shepherds. Shepherds, in Jesus' time, were the most untrustworthy people in the entire culture. That these people, just because they're shepherds, not what type of shepherds, but just because they are class in what they do, they are untrustworthy people. So untrustworthy that their witness, their testimony in court would bear no weight. Absolutely zero weight. So whatever they say they saw happened, somebody could come in and say, something else happened. And the truth might be lying in the shepherds' laps and in their words, but their testimony bears absolutely zero weight. The shepherds were unimportant, uneducated, uninfluencable. They couldn't influence anybody. And yet, these were the people that God entrusted with the message, the gospel of Jesus' birth, entrance into the world. It kind of reminds me of what's going to happen later. The first people that are going to witness the resurrection are untrustworthy women. God does the same thing. He resets the boundaries and the rules to say who is allowed to hear the absolute good news of Jesus Christ. That his birth, his entrance, the Messiah, the word has become flesh, should not be ushered in by shepherds. It should be ushered in by the elites, the trustworthy, the people who deserve it. And yet God sends the angels right to the shepherds and says, I have a message for you. The Messiah is being born, and go and see. Untrustworthy people become the messengers of the greatest news ever in the history of mankind. That's crazy. That is absolutely crazy. And so much so that then, you know, this incredible thing happens, and then all of a sudden they trust and obey, right? They all of a sudden say, let's go find this Jesus who's lying in the manger, right? So they kind of have an idea of where it is, right? And so they go searching. And I don't know if it's was popular in this day. It's sure not popular in Connecticut. I remember when I first got here and I was trying to figure out my way around, and then I began to, like, as I learned around Manchester and the surrounding communities, I began to, like, know where people lived. And I remember one day driving, and all of a sudden I, like, recognized where I was. I was like, oh, I know where I am. And then I had, like, another epiphany. I was like, oh, there's a Trinity family that lives by. So what does Austin do? He takes a hard right, kind of pulls up, confidently opens the door and knocks on. Like, they're like, Pastor Austin, what are you doing here? I was just in the neighborhood, and I stopped by and wanted to say hi. Honey, Pastor Austin's here. He just wants to stop by. And so I just, trust me, that first couple knocks on people's door, I won't name who that was. They might be here, they might not be here. But that was the most awkward 30 minutes of my life. I was just like, hey, it's good to see you. I want to get to know you. It's like, excuse me? We know you're the pastor, but you don't make home visits. Unexpected, unannounced, right? Like, I mean, they obviously invited me in for dinner. They did not listen to the PSA. We're parked through the door. Nobody's home, right? And the thing is, I've kind of pulled back on that, and Trinity, all y'all are like, oh, thank you. But don't worry, they might be coming back. Jesus convicts, right? Amen. But here's the crazy thing, is the shepherds not only untrustworthy, but love breaks down the rules and the barriers to say that you can't come here. You can't come through here. It's like, right? Like the shepherds are about to walk in on Mary, who's just given birth, right? Like the, like, I don't know how painstaking it was. I mean, I don't think like it was, I know it was an immaculate conception, but I don't think there was like no pain, but like Mary's recovering, right? Any of you ladies, like, just find some stinky shepherds showing up at your hospital and be like, hey, how's it going? Oh, don't worry, God sent me. Like, I'm gonna use that fraternity to be like, knock on the door and be like, Pastor Austin, what are you doing? Oh, God sent me. Will you let me in? Right, but there's this moment where like the shepherds walk into the room in a place they probably shouldn't walk into, right? That they shouldn't walk. There's this boundaries, like there's this space, right, that has been blocked. And he goes, this is for family only, right? This is for us, not you. For you to invade that special place between like mom and dad now looking at their new child and this wonderful, beautiful moment, and people interrupt it. Like, there's barriers to what you say and we say that you can't go. But sometimes love calls you in to walk in the room. Sometimes love means walking into the places that you shouldn't go. Because God's doing something and he told you to. Like this week, Ashley and I were in a part of town. I dragged my wife into this. And I was like, hey, did you know that this person from Trinity has an office in this building? And she's like, no. I was like, let's go knock. And she's like, what? And so I was like, yeah, come on, let's just go knock. And we actually happened to first knock on the wrong door. It was like, not that one, but it was the next one. And so like, at first I was just like, man, they are playing possum. This is rude, East Coast, come on. Like New England. And so it's like, I think it's the next door, the maintenance person. I was like, thank you very much. That was the Holy Spirit, right? And so I go knock on the door and they open the door and it's like that same thing. Like, Austin, Ashley, how's it going? What's up? Oh, we were just like in the building and we just wanted to say hi. I want to show, you know, Ashley your office. And she's like, oh, that's cool. So we like, love when walks in the room. Sometimes like person opens it a crack and you just kind of like, hey, we're in now, close the door, right? Like, but there's this crazy moment that wasn't expected. I just wanted to stop in and say hi. And then all of a sudden, we begin to talk about life. We talked about like what was going on during Christmas, what was going on during the break, if anything special was happening. And then all of a sudden, like the Holy Spirit started to move our conversation. And we began to have this like credible moment of like transparency of what was going on in life and the hardships and the way that we're like, we're all just like barely making it sometimes like Christmas. And then it was just this moment where I was like, God, let's just, I hear you. And I was like, can we just pray? And we begin to pray over and with this person. And it was a beautiful moment that we were like all starting to cry and just felt the Spirit coming. And then we ended the prayer and the person was like, wow, I didn't expect that to happen. I was like, neither did we. But sometimes when love calls you to walk in the room, it's asking you to break the barriers that exist that says you shouldn't go there because like, oh, but they're at work. Oh, but that would be intrusive and offensive. Can I tell you something? The gospel of Jesus Christ is offensive. And if you're not offending people, like for the way of loving them, can we get back in our Bibles and start reading this passage over and over again? Like, can you look where God sends shepherds into the room where Jesus is born to their parents? This is a husband, and this is going to be a father, a mother, who are meeting their child for the first time. It's a beautiful moment. And God says, interrupt this moment so that I can do work through you. Because the shepherds needed to get eyes on love made flesh. Sometimes you need to get in the room to see love made flesh between people. That you need to move beyond the barriers that says, hey, guess what? Like, I shouldn't knock on that door because I'm in the room. I shouldn't go knock on my neighbor's door because, oh, they might be having family time. Like, right? But if love is calling you to move into the room, into the space, you listen and obey. Because it's not about you. It's what God can do in and through you. The craziest things happen when you believe and you walk in the room. And not only that, but as you walk in the room, I love this moment that love not only breaks down the barriers, but it calls you not to just react, but to respond. Like, right, remember, like I was thinking in the back, is like when Ellie and Gwen were born, like I remember being in, especially Ellie, first-time dad, and, you know, the baby was, like, Ellie was born, I think, at 10 o'clock at night. No, 1:30 in the morning, something like that. Something crazy. 1:30 in the morning. When you have three, the times all get messed up, right? Anybody with me? Right. You're like, when was that kid born? What was your birthday? Sorry, kids, we love you. So it's like 1:30 in the morning, and, you know, Ashley, we're just having this euphoria. People that listen to God, and that we were like, let's just do this as a family. We're sitting in the waiting room waiting for us to come in and walk in the room, and we just wanted us to be there, right? That, like, literally played out. But then I just was like, Ashley, when can I? When can I? When can I? Like, when can I post? When can I start texting? Like, when can I start doing this? Like, I was so anxious that I had met the face of my daughter and ushered in that moment a flood of experiencing what unconditional love looked back, and I didn't look at it and go, aww, and then put it down and walk away. Like, I literally holding my daughter, reacting like, aww, and then responding that I need to tell everybody that I have the most beautiful daughter on the planet. I'm sorry for all you other kids that were born. My daughter is hands down the most beautiful baby ever. Like, right, I want to shout it. I want everybody to know. I want them to see pictures. I want to see likes. I want to see comments. Like, oh my gosh, that is the cutest baby. Like, there's a glow around. Like, I want everybody to know that I'm not just like, responding to it and then walking back and getting on my phone and be like, hey, what's on ESPN? How many of us look into the love of Jesus Christ and what he's offered to us and go, and then we're back in our phones, looking at whatever you need to replace the love that God is sending to you. How many times in Western culture do we see something amazing and we react but not respond? Like, that's cool with culture, but God is saying that followers of Jesus, and seen in the scriptures, is that the shepherds walked into the room, they saw the word made flesh, that God appearing as Emmanuel in the flesh, and they didn't only go, oh my goodness. And they're like, oh, that was cute, now let's go tend to our sheep. They looked at it and they were like, oh, Mary, we gotta go. Like, who leaves baby Jesus? Like, shepherds, you made a mistake. Like, I would be like, oh, that's baby Jesus? Like, I'll just sit there. But their response is to actually respond to love made flesh. That if we are to look at Scripture, to see it as a guideline, to see what the message of the good news of the gospel is, not something just to react to and hold on to yourself, but it's to respond to. And they go do the most scandalous and outlandish thing. Middle of the night, go and start knocking on doors, right? You think me showing up in the middle afternoon is bad? I'm going to show up at 2:30 in the morning. Hey, Pastor Austin, get out. No, I'm here. God sent me, right? Like, but the reality is the shepherds go and start pounding on doors to tell people the good news that Jesus Christ, the hope, the Messiah, the one that you had been waiting for, love incarnate, is here. Middle of the night. God is calling you not just to react, to be like, oh, that's good. Let me like it. Double click. Maybe write a comment, amen, or Jesus, right? Or share it. They're telling you to literally go, to walk in the room, see people face to face, and tell them, I have the best news ever. The best news ever. And here's the crazy thing. And you're like, so what does this mean? Like, what does this look like? How do you walk away with handhold, something to do, like something to live out? Because I believe when you confronted and with an offensive gospel of Jesus Christ, that it makes you respond. So are you going to walk out different? Or are you going to be like, oh, that was a good sermon. That was a nice service. Or are you going to go out looking at Jesus made flesh? And you're going to change. Well, I think the biggest thing is some of you might be thinking, like, I'm like a shepherd. I'm untrustworthy. I'm uneducated. I don't know enough about the gospel. I don't know enough about Jesus. I can't answer the questions. You'd be like, I'm uneducated. And what I'll tell you is shepherds, not smart people. God chose them. But you might be like, oh, but you know what? I don't have enough followers. I don't have enough influence to make a difference. The message can't go far with me. And I'll look and be like, shepherds, they have no influence. Nobody listens to them. And God chose them. But then you might, I'm unimportant. I'm not important. People aren't going to listen to me even if, like, my close friends, like, they don't value what I say. It doesn't hold weight. And I'm like, shepherds, God chose them. He chooses you. The reality is that you, who are untrusted people, human beings who are prone to wander and prone to falter, you are untrusted. But with this movement of God and Jesus into the world, you become untrusted who are now trusted. You are untrusted who are now entrusted with the good news of Jesus Christ. Upon you is the one who shepherds the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. Maybe Jesus doesn't talk 1 minute old, but like, hey, shepherds, you should probably go tell me about Jesus. Like, he doesn't tell. God chooses to use the shepherds, to entrust them to be the sharers of the good news of Jesus Christ. He's entrusted with you. If you don't do it, where does it go? Bring up whatever you're like, gosh, I don't have the gifts. God will gift you. I don't have the words. Neither did the shepherds. They knocked on the doors. Bring what you got. Bring your excuse of why you can't or not good enough. And we see in here that he changes the inside of you, that love breaks down the barriers to what you think you can't do to what God can do in and through you. But some of you might be like, okay, I get that. But for some of you, you need to learn to walk in the room, to break some barriers, to knock on some doors, to offend people because you want to love them. Not freak them out. Don't do that. We are not trying to come to church, the freak out church. Like, we are not those crazy people. We are the people that come and be like, hey, you're new to the neighborhood? Yes, please buy the house here because we are good people. Because we will treat you really good. Not because I know how to, but because Jesus resides in me. Man, I felt this like in Texas. I lived in a house for 3.5 years before we even knocked on a door. And I didn't knock on a door until a student called me out and says, Austin, you preaching all this stuff, but you're not doing it. Oh, guess what? Knocked on 12 doors that next day, right? With my cute kids. Like, the reality is that you are entrusted to walk into the room that God has called you to walk into the room of people's life because it's offensive and it offends so good. That people be like, whoa, 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 you're breaking these barriers. The love that you're sharing aren't abiding by the rules that I've set up or culture has set up. It's like, right, because the love that I have breaks those rules and shows you what real love is. Like, it's easy, practical, right? I mean, loving on your kids' teachers, loving on your neighbors, your coworkers. Like, these are the things that you are called to walk into the room to offend, intrude, unexpected, walk into their space, not to be weird, but to love on them. Oh, my goodness. How many of us just go home and have no movement after this into people's lives? Me included. I am the worst of it as well. And then, if you can understand that you are entrusted, that you are called to walk into places and spaces where our culture says you can't walk, with love, you walk into the room, God will use you. God will use you. And it'll be something that you don't just react to, but you respond to. It is something that you don't just bottle up, but you share. I shared this story with youth group, and it was funny because it's kind of been caught, and I'll share it to all of you so it makes sense for some of you. But I shared this story last week about how the gospel, the story of Jesus coming in and giving to the shepherds, calls us not to just to hog all the good things, but to share it. And I shared this story that the other day, my daughters woke up early from their nap. The light didn't turn green. You know, if there's those alarm clocks that turn green, they can wake up. They came in before that. And I happened to be enjoying myself with a very large bowl of ice cream. And after nap time, they're supposed to have a snack, and they go, I'm going to go, Daddy, can we have some ice cream? I was like, no, you can't have any ice cream. And they're like, what can we have? I was like, Goldfish. And so I poured some Goldfish, and then I finished. I'm a bad dad. I finished, sit there and watch them, and just ate ice cream all in front of them. And it's not one of those like small bowls, you know, that you get like this. It was like one of those soup bowls, and I had filled that thing up, and I was just like, right? Dark chocolate, and the girls are like salivating over there. They can be like, they're like eating their goldfish and tasting ice cream. Like, they're like, can we have some? I was like, this is all daddy's. Well, why do you get it? I was like, because I'm a dad. All right? All of you dads that are like, or like, I'm the parent, because I said so, right? And all of you kids are like, that is the lamest excuse I've ever heard in my entire life, right? I give you value, kids. It's truth. It is the most lame excuse ever. But sometimes that's all we got, right? Because we want it all for ourselves. And what I said there is like, that in that moment, I became an ice cream eating jerk. I'm sitting there with my big ball going, oh, so good. It's so good. And then all of a sudden, my kids are over there going like, why are you sharing the wealth? Like, really, I think about it. As Christians, like, we got this huge bowl of ice cream, and there's your neighbors and your friends and people are sitting around you, and you're just like, ugh. Right? You're like, getting it all around so that people can really see that, I got ice cream and you don't have it. Like, the reality is, like, we are ice cream eating jerks. But the reality is God gives you this huge, huge gallon-sized ice cream, not to just walk around and hoard, but to share with other people, to let them know the goodness that you're tasting, to let them know that what you're having and what you're experiencing is so good. Like Jesus says, like, good things don't count as calories, right? So eat it all, right? But the reality is that you are called not to be ice cream eating Christian jerks. You're called to share it. Because you want some? Yeah, here, I got an extra bowl. Let me dip some out for you. And then you share together. And then you are both experiencing the goodness that is shared between two people. That's literally what love does, is it says you don't waste it on yourself, that you share it with others. Come on, maybe too much of us are ice cream eating jerks in here. Maybe we need to understand that we need to stop wasting it on ourselves. We're overindulging. I know I'm overindulging. I need to kind of like share more with others than myself, right? But maybe in that we've gotten so much wisdom and so much experience of the love of God that we feel so good about ourselves, that we're so great, that we know all the verses to help put us back in the mood to understand where our identity lies, that we are, yes, trusted, that we are not, that God has put a new heart in us, that our identity is found in Him, and we leave it there, become so bloated that we probably can't even get through the doors. But He's calling you to share the good stuff, the best stuff that you've ever experienced in your life. And I know some of you have that ice cream flavor that you're thinking of right now. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need to actively share with other people because it is so good. And what you have cannot be held onto. You need to take your bowl of ice cream and your gallon of ice cream. You go knock on people's door, have extra bowls with your kids, and say, you want some ice cream? Yeah, okay, here, bowl. And then, bye, see you later. Like, let them have your bowl and your silverware and that good ice cream and not expect it back in return. Come on, like, this is the good news of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to say something outlandish and scandalous. If the love of God that is for you and for other people, that you are called to love God and to love other people, if you're hogging and hoarding that to yourself, I don't know if you've experienced the love of Jesus Christ. Can I say that? Maybe you really need to experience it. Maybe you just sit down with someone that shares it and experience what it's like to eat together the love of Jesus Christ. And then maybe once you've experienced, maybe as shepherds, when you put eyes to Jesus, to God made flesh, you don't just react, you respond. And you share it, you knock on doors. Because the reality, this is too good to not share. This is too good for you just to hold on to yourself. This is too good for you to just see your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers agonizing in the pit and saying, I have the answer for hope, for a future, for who you are, to bring you out of the pit of despair by this guy and this love that he offers in the person of Jesus, and to leave them there is the saddest of all sad things. We have a church. If we look and follow the gospel, if we look at this text in Advent, if you sit here on the 29th of December, when the year is about to start over, if you're looking to saying, hey man, this year is 2019 has been terrible. I agree, my 2019, horrible. I cannot wait for 2020. But you can't sit here and go into the next year to hear the good news of the gospel and stay the same. You must be different. If you read this text and you're affronted with the good news of the love of Jesus Christ that breaks down the barriers of time and space of human flesh and the God and divinity made into one, if you've looked at all that, you can't help but walk away different. And if you're sitting here going, well, how do I be different? Come, let's talk. Talk to one of the leaders here. Talk, what does it look like to be different? Because you've looked at the face of love and you can't help but share it. Let's pray. God, for one, I know that I am that ice cream eating jerk. I'm the one that has hope, peace, joy, faith, perseverance. And I'm withholding it from people that I love, people that I join together and I see weekly, and I don't give them the best of me. What a fraud. But God, I know that some of us might be feeling like, dang, I don't share it. I don't feel like I'm entrusted with the message. I don't feel like I'm important, good enough, have the right words. I don't have the courage to walk next door, to walk into the room next to me and engage people that I love because I have the love of Jesus. God, but I think of the woman who was sitting at your feet because the Pharisees had thrown her there because she was caught doing something she shouldn't. And after they had all left because they couldn't condemn her, you lucked up. You locked eyes with her. And you said, where are those that are trying to condemn you? Are they not gone? And then you looked in her eyes and you said, neither do I condemn you. Now go. So I pray for those that are here that might feel the condemnation. There's no condemnation in Jesus. There is no shame. There is no you're less than. You are the created image of God himself, that you bear the image of the one true God who was before all things and that will exist after all things. In him there's not shame. He did not send his son to show you the difference, to make you feel bad, but for you to understand how intoxicatingly in love he is with you. And Father, I pray, there might be somebody in this room that's like, I've never experienced, but I want that so bad. I want a God that doesn't condemn or shame me, but loves me. That would put himself through the death that I deserved so that I may have life. God, it's easy that you just tell us that if we look to you, we say to you, God, I surrender my life. I've done it wrong and I need you. There's nothing that I can do that can make right what I have done. But your son Jesus did. So I surrender myself. I give myself over to the love of the Father, to the hope from the Son, and the comfort and the presence of the Holy Spirit. God, may today be the new day for those that are asking that. Meet them, change them. Overflow their cup with the love that you have for them. And for us that know that love, God, just absolutely offend us. Call us to do unexpected things because love will meet us there. We ask this in your name. Amen.